Hello, this is Paula Kaufman with the Herald and Review, dated Thursday, October 16th, 2025. We'll start with an article on the front page, headlined Faith, Power of Praise. Shearer's story moves audience at Mount Zion Prayer Breakfast by Danette Beckett. Mount Zion. Even in the lowest of times, prayer is sometimes all you've got. Musician Michael Shearer was invited to Wednesday's Mount Zion Chamber of Commerce Community Prayer Breakfast as a speaker, as well as a performer. His story of resilience amidst debilitating setbacks provided the crowd words of encouragement in a year of challenges in the community. "Don't stop wherever you're going," he said before the event. Many people were unaware of Shearer's story and his struggles during the past several years. He was diagnosed with three autoimmune diseases that caused him severe pain and paralysis. President of HSHS St. Mary's Hospital, Tim Lehman, was in the audience listening to Shearer's testimony. "What a powerful way to start a day," he said. "The adversity to which he has had to walk through has been absolutely amazing." Shearer, 40, is a Decatur native with an interest in the piano since the age of 5. "As soon as I could walk, anywhere there was a piano, I was going up to it," he said. His musical knowledge and experience grew, playing with school bands, receiving his music degree from Millikan University, performing with professional musicians, and creating his own commercial music company and children's program titled The Awesome Squad with friend Zach Garrett. "Along the way, I got ordained and preached weekly from the pulpit for 10 years, he added. Shearer and his wife added three daughters to their family after they married 14 years ago. The illnesses, however, began 20 years ago with pain in his body. "It started at the shoulders, then went to the hands," Shearer said. "I went from being able to perform for four-hour shows to struggling to make it through a one-hour performance, and eventually not being able to make it through one song. Shearer's body muscles were shutting down. I watched my dream to be successful in the music industry pretty much vanish," he said, "and I couldn't pick up my kids anymore or get down to play with them." Throughout those dark times, he admits his faith kept him going. "I still had a voice," he said. "In those periods of darkness, when all there was the ability to speak, I found myself singing praises to God." Shearer also began writing worship songs. "These lyrics and these melodies start coming out," he said. In 2020, after years of tests, Shearer was diagnosed with fibromyalgia, psoriatic arthritis, and Raynaud's syndrome. "All three of them affect my hands," he said. Therapy and 9 medications have helped Shearer to work again. "Combined with prayer and persistent faith helped to restore movement in my hands," he said. Shearer taught himself to play the piano 3 different times during his battles. During the process, he developed a softer touch. He had begun working with a music production company, developing relationships which introduced him to the producers of the soap opera, The Young and the Restless. For the past 18 months, Shearer's solo and trio jazz songs have been performed in various scenes of the show. He is also music producer for several independent Christian music artists throughout the country. Garrett and Shearer were able to begin performing again. The two had performed together for more than 15 years in various local and surrounding venues. "When he was on stage, he was always great," Garrett said about his business partner, "but we had to pick and choose our shows because he didn't have enough in the tank." However, Garrett said he never considered the two had stopped working together. He just began working on other projects, including a solo career. "But every time we get together, we can pick up exactly where we left off," Garrick said. "It was just the time between gigs." The two plan to return to a recording studio for a new album next month. The prayer breakfast was also a time to bring the community together after a difficult year, Kyle Karsten, board president, reminded the crowd. In January, Mount Zion experienced devastation with the tragic sledding accident that resulted in the death of 10-year-old Jack Brinketter and seriously injured his friend Charlie Spurlock. Then in June, we experienced another tragedy when Hannah Claghorn was tragically lost in a bike accident at the age of only 19, Karsten said. Karsten encouraged those in attendance to turn to prayer for comfort and shelter in good as well as bad times. Because life can be hard, he said. By coming together to pray, we draw on the well of faith that can inspire and motivate us to meet challenges with renewed strength and courage. For Scherer, resilience is about refusing to quit. Strength isn't about not failing, he said. It's about getting back up every time. If it wasn't for the pain, I wouldn't have been able to develop a soft touch that has now become the very thing that's opening up the doors of opportunity, he said. I still believe the best is yet to come. Higher education. Richland adds Albers to board. Ritter named trustee emeritus after 12 years of public service. By Jeanette Beckett, Decatur. Within minutes of being sworn in as a trustee on the Richland Community College Board, Marianne Albers was sitting in a chair ready to vote on the college's businesses. It was awesome, she said after the meeting. I loved it, but there were a ton more people than I expected. Albers was appointed Tuesday to fill the vacancy created by the death of Tom Ritter. Ritter died in a grain bin accident on August 20th. The board had 60 days to fill the vacancy. Albers will serve until 2027, when Ritter's term expires, and has committed to seeking election to the position. Ritter and Albers were friends, she said. I was at the Blue Mound Fall Festival with him for many years, she said, and his son Corey is actually married to my husband's cousin. During the meeting, the board also honored Ritter as trustee emeritus. Ritter served on the board for 12 years. He also was a farmer with a focus on agricultural education. Thomas W. Ritter has been a tireless advocate for agriculture, promoting its essential role in economic vitality, community identity, and educational opportunity, said Chairman Dale Coley as he read from the proclamation. How much he was needed by this board at the time he came on the board, we sure found out in a hurry. Several members of Ritter's family were at the meeting to accept the proclamation. Dwayne Noland, former Illinois state senator, spoke to the board, as well as the family and friends in attendance, about their friendship, as well as Ritter's leadership in education and the community. I've known Tom all my life, through church and through school, through his family, Noland said. I realized Tom was quite a leader. Noland described his friend as a servant leader. He was gentle. He was professional. He was persistent, he said, and he just liked getting the job done. Albers said she was humbled to sit in the RCC board position her friend once held. I considered Tom a very good friend of mine, she said. I hope to give something back. Albers' experience includes being a committee member for the Blue Mound Fall Festival and township positions. Industry, Decatur, giving us our daily bread. New ADM lab puts wheat samples to the taste test. By Tony Reed, Decatur. Every day in her Decatur laboratory smells like heaven for Emily Walters. The lab technician and baker goes against the grain amid central Illinois' relentless acres of corn and beans to focus instead on wheat and the ancient culinary art of turning it into delicious breads and cookies. Walters works at Archer Daniels Midland Company's new central milling laboratory, which had its official opening on Tuesday. The lab pulls in wheat samples from all over North America to test them for quality, consistency, problems, and any other issues that might keep retailers from giving unto us our daily bread. Because it builds its reputation on consistent, tailored quality, ADM wants to make sure the milled flour it sells to a particular commercial baker rises to just the right height to fit their packaging and tastes right, too, Same for cookie makers, who want consistent consistency and quality to meet their needs, and a product that, when baked, will also fit in the packet. The 31-year-old lab tech bakes 30 to 40 loaves a day, and any way you slice it, loves her job. "Oh, it tastes good," she said, "and it smells amazing." There is a map on the lab wall with inserted pins showing the dozens of places where the wheat is coming from. Kansas, not surprisingly, looks like a pin cushion. Illinois, meanwhile, has only a couple of lonesome pins. Jeannie Maxwell, ADM's Global Director of Quality and Food Safety, says the street address of the wheat lab doesn't make no never mind. "We have 31 mills and are getting samples from all over," she explained, "so it really doesn't matter where your lab is." And she said ADM likes the Decatur location, which is why it is focusing its testing on this site. The new Central Milling Laboratory is the latest addition to the firm's ADM specialty manufacturing facility, housed in what was once the Meta Pharmaceuticals Medicine Factory at 705 East El Dorado Street. The Central Milling Laboratory, with 6 jobs, opened in June and has already managed to process 4,800 wheat samples in a blizzard of some 23,000 separate tests. And it got all that done after getting everything up and running amid the stress and strains of the harvest season. "Our employees have done amazing work," Maxwell said. She said the quality of those employees and the availability of a newly reconfigured building, already set up to do state-of-the-art food product testing, is why ADM keeps investing in its El Dorado facility. The new wheat testing lab is surrounded by clean, empty space in the refurbished former Meta location, and Maxwell said it offers plenty of room to bake in future expansions of analytical testing for all kinds of applications. That kind of sweet talk was food for thought and hope for Decatur Mayor Julie Moore Wolf, who helped with a ribbon-cutting ceremony on Tuesday. "We are so excited to welcome this small but mighty lab into our community. And we just can't wait to see what is next," she told a crowd of visiting ADM top brass, including ADM's president, chairman of the board, and CEO, Juan Luciano. Moore Wolf was then whisked off for a tour of the new lab and was particularly keen to feast her eyes on the baking section. "I look forward to smelling the bread," she said, "and will gain 5 pounds just from the scent." District Eyes Enrollment Trends by Tony Reed, Decatur. The Board of Education voted to spend more than $32,000 of taxpayers' money to find out why a rising number of those taxpayers look like they won't be educating their kids in Decatur public schools in the future. The board commissioned survey firm Business Information Services, BIS, to crunch the demographic trends and figure out why enrollment is trending down. BIS will also do extensive analysis to help guide the board on how to best use its buildings and whether there is any need for changes to your attendance boundaries to balance enrollment better based on our projections. Those projections don't seem to have worked out too well from the last time the Missouri firm was called in to help. In 2018 and 2022, it completed a comprehensive demographic and enrollment projection study for the District 61 territory, which must now take a hard look at it again. Tracking the accuracy of our last set of projections is one of the tasks BIS has listed for itself in the new study, said a memorandum from Preston Smith, the BIS president and CEO. Of particular concern is the large drop in expected enrollment from the projected baselines. In September, Superintendent Rochelle Clark reported the district had 7,407 students, down 42 from the previous year. And while that decline had the prospect of being more than offset by pending student registrations, Clark had warned enrollment numbers overall were trending down faster than we expected. Speaking at Tuesday's meeting on enrollment trends, she told the board, "So even though you may see some increases in enrollment in some of our lower buildings, our total enrollment is lower. She said the downward trend looked to be running ahead of previous detailed projections. And she said the board is going to need updated numbers as it gets ready to consider a major project called Roadmap 2030, a comprehensive look at how the district will use and organize its buildings and resources in the future. So we wanted to get a new study, so we'll have new information as we move forward, Clark added. One big factor the board and its hired experts will no doubt have to take into consideration is that Decatur's population as a whole has been earning a failing grade for some time. Census survey results show that from a peak of 94,000 in 1980, the current city population is estimated at around 66,594 by the website Census Report, which uses statistics from the U.S. Census Bureau. If correct, that is an eye-opening drop of more than 29% from that 1980 total, giving the city a very rapid shrink rate. The BIS firm, meanwhile, says it will have its new numbers and projections ready by early November and hopes to include analysis of Decatur's housing and economic factors that could impact the school district's enrollment. But it will also need to buy residential information from county officials, and that alone is predicted to cost around $2,000. One new batch of employees who won't add to the physical headcount of staff in the school district are virtual school psychologists. The board voted to try and hire some, wherever they are in the nation, and have them work with teachers and students virtually, without actually being there. A briefing paper for the school board, prepared by Kathy Horath, director of Macon Pyatt Special Education, said the current situation was depressing. We have 6 open positions for school psychologists with no applicants, she explained. We need to think of innovative ways to address the needs. The virtual psychologist will interact remotely to provide consultative services to administrators, parents, teachers, and others to address the academic and/or behavioral difficulties of students, said the briefing paper. The contract conditions specify the virtual person will have to work a full 180-day school year with a salary determined by the board. Some of the other abilities demanded of would-be applicants seem a little out of place, however, such as employees must frequently lift and or move up to 20 pounds, according to detailed job specifications. That, presumably, might be difficult to check on personally if the new employee, say, lives somewhere like Suppay, Arizona, which is only accessible by foot, mule, or helicopter. It is regarded as the most remote inhabited place in the continental United States. In other board news, the warm promise of solar power easing school energy bills appears to have cooled somewhat. The board signed off on a proposal by Mike Curry, Chief Operations Officer, and Floyd Bolt, Director of Buildings and Grounds, agreeing to an elevated electric rate being charged by power firms Shine-On Solar, Hawk Atolo. This projected rate will now rise to 4.5 cents per kilowatt hour for power that will be generated when solar panels come online at Muffley Elementary and Franklin Grove Elementary school buildings. Curry and Bolt, however, say that rate is still half the price of the district's regular power rate. They told the board the solar rate is rising because the original plan was to have solar panels producing more power on a spread of 6 school buildings. But due to changing federal incentives and a tedious approval process involving Ameren, Illinois, only the 2 building projects were approaching readiness, and the lack of the other 4 buildings would serve to raise the price of the electricity generated. IAA Foundation Awards Ag Education Grants by Matush Yannick, Bloomington. The IAA Foundation announced funding to expand student opportunities through the Illinois Agriculture in the Classroom program. Providing these grants ensures teachers have a local connection and access to engaging resources to integrate accurate agricultural content into their classrooms, stated Kevin Doherty, IAITC Education Director, in a news release. 80 agriculture literacy coalitions serving 89 Illinois counties were awarded a total of $668,150 in grant funds, the news release said. The funds can be used for materials, training, educational lessons, and activities during the 2025-26 school year. Central Illinois counties awarded funds include Christian, Cumberland, Douglas, Effingham, Ford, Iroquois, Livingston, Logan, Macon, McLean, Moultrie, Piatt, DeWitt, Shelby, and Woodford. Visit IAAFoundation.org to learn more about donating to the IAA Foundation and AgInTheClassroom.org for more information on IAITC. Illinois Extension to Host Pumpkin Smashes by Matush Yannick, Normal. The University of Illinois Extension, serving Macon and McLean counties, will host pumpkin smash events at Fairview Park in Decatur and Raider Family Farms in Normal on Saturday, November 8th. Community members are asked to bring their pumpkins, carved or uncarved, to dispose of them in an environmentally friendly and fun way. The events will take place at Fairview Park, 2095 West El Dorado Street in Decatur, from 10 a.m. to noon, and at Raider Family Farms, 1312 Rop Road in Normal, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. The pumpkins should have no candles, stickers, glitter, metal, or any other synthetic or non-compostable items. Pumpkins covered in water-based paint are still eligible for composting. Visit extension.illinois.edu/environment/pumpkin-smash for more information. St. Teresa High School. Kids tap into Latin cultures. Students put salsa dance moves to test for Hispanic Heritage Month by Danette Beckett, Decatur. St. Teresa High School seniors Jonathan Edwards and Renia Smith won the salsa dancing contest while celebrating their school's Hispanic Heritage Month. The pair admitted they didn't dance much, especially the popular Latin dance. "It was fun," Benaya said. "I danced at the homecoming dance," Jonathan said. St. Teresa High School's International Club hosted the last day of Hispanic Heritage Month with activities including music from DJ Piropo, trivia contests, a piñata contest, and the salsa competition. "It's important that all cultures are represented, especially in America, because we have a lot of diversity in this country," said Kara Felben, sophomore and international club member. "Everyone is important." Hispanic Heritage Month is celebrated from September 15th through October 15th. Throughout the month, the International Club made posters to honor those with Hispanic heritage, specifically scientists, including the first Latina woman in space, Ellen Ochoa, and Dr. Antonio Novello, the first female and first Hispanic U.S. Surgeon General. The posters were displayed throughout the school. Kara is also a Spanish student at St. Teresa. "We study Hispanic countries at least once a week," she said. "There's almost 22 countries that speak Spanish." According to Jack Wilkinson, president of the Spanish 4 class, the event recognizes Hispanic cultures as well as the people who have contributed to society. "We have quite a few representatives of that in our school," he said. "Knowledge of Spanish is important," Jack said. "It helps you communicate with so many more people, and it introduces so many more opportunities that you wouldn't have otherwise," he said. Isaac Zuniga, Richland Community College Vice President for Student Affairs, spoke to students about the importance of bringing cultures together. "We're all people of this world," he said. "We have cultural traditions that make us unique." "Education is the pathway to economic mobility," he added. "It starts here, but it doesn't end here," Zuniga said. Hispanic traditions are important to Zuniga and others in his culture, including the food, music, faith, and family. All of those good things that make us very, very unique, he said. This month is about celebrating our differences. But more importantly, it's about sharing an awareness about what this culture does. 1 in 5 people in America is of a Latino heritage, according to the United States Census Bureau, a statistic Zuniga pointed out. Our representation, our contributions to the country, not just historically, but now, is invaluable to our economy, Zuniga said. We are strong. We're committed to quality. We're here to support everyone. Together, when we rise, America rises. Digest. Brown University says no to Trump proposal. Washington. Brown University rejected a Trump administration proposal Wednesday that would provide favorable access to funding in exchange for a wide range of commitments, saying the deal would curtail academic freedom and undermine the university's independence. Brown is the latest university to turn down the proposal, which White House officials said would bring multiple positive benefits, including substantial and meaningful federal grants. The Massachusetts Institute of Technology backed away from the proposal last week after its president said it would restrict free speech and campus autonomy. Brown president Christina Paxson said the Ivy League University in Providence, Rhode Island, is aligned with some of the provisions in the offer, including commitments to affordability and equal opportunity, but can't agree to others. Study. CO2 levels rise record amount. Geneva. Heat-trapping carbon dioxide levels in the atmosphere jumped by the highest amount on record last year, soaring to a level not seen in human civilization and turbocharging the Earth's climate and causing more extreme weather, the United Nations Weather Agency said Wednesday. The World Meteorological Organization said in its latest bulletin on greenhouse gases, an annual study released ahead of the UN's annual climate conference, that CO2 growth rates have tripled since the 1960s. Emissions from burning coal, oil, and gas, alongside more wildfires, have helped fan a vicious climate cycle, and people and industries continue to spew heat-trapping gases while the planet's oceans and forests lose their ability to absorb them, the WMO report said. Briefly, California. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy said Wednesday he will withhold $40 million from California because it is the only state that won't enforce English language requirements for truckers who are supposed to be disqualified if they can't show English proficiency. Bibles. Oklahoma's new public school superintendent, Liddell Fields, said Wednesday he will rescind a mandate that forced schools to place Bibles in classrooms and incorporate the book into lesson plans for students. Madagascar. Colonel Michael Randrianarina, the leader of Madagascar's military coup, told the Associated Press on Wednesday that he is taking the position of president and that the armed forces would be in charge of the African island nation for up to 2 years before elections are held. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half of the Herald and Review, dated Thursday, October 16th, 2025. Please stay tuned.